I'm sorry. This should have been said. I'm sorry, Denise. Our children are beginning the Kids Rock for the fall, and so now is the time for them to go back and enjoy time together in children's church. Amen. Thank you, Miss Denise. All right. Today is the last message installment on Magnificent Portrait. And instead of me doing the last brushstroke of that portrait first, I'm going to wait and do it last. I want to fill in the last. All right. So I bet if I went around the room, I'd say, what do you think this is? And people would all say the same thing. So let me fill it in last and see if you were right. Okay? All right. Did you say I know what it is? Oh, okay. Did the Holy Spirit reveal that to you? Okay. All right. The first one, of course, we talked about the benefits of being in Christ. We heard more about that today. In Christ. I love being in Christ because what comes with in Christ is more than you can imagine. You can't even put it into words what it means to be in Christ. To be forgiven, redeemed, all of these things are so amazing in Christ. And I praise God, I'm blessed, I'm chosen, I'm forgiven, I'm empowered by the Holy Spirit. It's just amazing what comes with that idea. The second stroke was dealing with His power on display. And that power is unmatched. There's not any matched power of God anywhere at any time. You think Irma is a powerful, never seen before storm? That may be true on this earth, but my friend, there is nothing that matches the power of God, period. And so His power on display can be seen through, come on, us. Ho. Does that rattle the soul or what? His power can be seen on display, unmatched power. It is there for our use according to His will, His purpose, His plan, and should be seen through you and I. Hallelujah. We see it all throughout the Word of God. And then the third stroke was talking about the great rescue, the But God in the Bible that talks about the amazing rescue that happened for our sakes. And then the fourth was, I am His masterpiece. Oh, did we live this week like I am His masterpiece? Or did we live like I'm so broken I don't know how to act? See? When we keep the right perspective of who we are, it changes everything. See? Created for good works. And then the fifth stroke was His call to unity. In other words, we are called into a way bigger thing than ourselves. We are called into the body of Christ. And the body of Christ is to be a unified body, proving that Jesus is the head. We are the part of the body. And it proves that He is ruler over who we are. It shows that. It reveals that. And unity says, and really do everything possible to maintain the unity of the body. This is important. And the sixth one was His giftings. And I'm telling you, we went through that, and God has gifted the church. And I pray that we see those giftings come forward with great power and strength. And the last, and certainly not the least, is His light. Now, let me start with a story that happened to us when we were younger. In our younger years, we used to take the boys camping. Camping is so much fun. Not. I've never have been a great camper, but because my boys like to go and do those things, and my wife and I saw that was a good thing for them, we decided we would try it, and we'd take a tent, pitch it, you know, and the tent was never big enough, and there was never enough room for even the blow-up mattresses that are supposed to make you more comfortable, that the air goes out before long and it's not comfortable at all. You feel every rock, you feel it, and you try to turn over, and it's just a mess. And And then your wife says, quit turning over so much, you know, and you just bounce everywhere. Has anybody been camping? You know what I'm talking about? And then it rains and you can't get the place you were going to cook to light up and do everything because it's drenched, you know. I mean, it's just all sorts of stuff. But we were there, and it was on a midweek. It was a midweek time that we went because we were always in church on Sunday. And so we went in the midweek, and it was like a Wednesday night in this park or something. And there wasn't very many people in the park, and that means there wasn't a lot of activity. And late at night, I don't know how this happens, but you always have to go to the restroom, right? And the restroom late at night can either be right outside your tent, which we didn't practice that. Because a lot of reasons. But anyway, or you could go up to the restrooms not too far from your tent, right? And so, of course, that urge hit me that night, and I had to get up and start out to go to the restroom, and I grabbed my trusty flashlight, right? And so I turned the flashlight on, and I'm moving down this, and that particular night it was cloudy, so there was no moon, no stars, no nothing. It was pitch dark. And so I'm walking up this slope to go to the restroom. I don't know why they always put the camping spots down lower and the restrooms way up higher. That doesn't make me feel comfortable, you know. But that's what they do. And so I'm walking up this slope through some woods on the way, and I stumble. Because there is a sphere of light that's as far as it goes. It just stops. You got the flashlight. And so it just stopped. It didn't go any further. And I stumbled. And I kind of fell over, and it dropped out of my hand. Well, guess what? It stopped working when it hit the ground. So now I am in pitch black. I mean, it is dark. You can barely see your hand in that. And I'm searching around. I'm on my knees. I'm on my knees. And it's like 3 in the morning. And I'm searching around. Have you ever just patted around for something because you can't see? Of course, the flashlight is black, right? Of course, all of them are, aren't they? I don't even think they come another color. They're all black. And you're looking around like this trying to find this flashlight. And so then I haven't been able to find it, so I get up off my knees, and I'm on my feet, and I'm... It was ridiculous. And what had happened was the light hit the ground, and it rolled down the hill a little bit and then stuck in a root. There was, you know how roots are exposed on a trail like that? And it was just laying there. It wasn't very far from me, but it was just off the beaten path, and it was laying on a root. It was exposed. And so, of course, I didn't know that. I thought, I know I dropped it right here. You go everywhere, and my hand may have even passed over it, but did not pat. You know, I don't know. But I finally found the flashlight. But I had stepped off the path, trying to expand my search like, you know, a CSI would. You know, you just keep expanding the, right? And I finally find the flashlight. I turn it on, doesn't come on. And I bang it up. I try to screw it in tighter, and finally the light came on. And when it came on, I looked down, and there was this area right here that had been washed out. If I'd have made one more step that direction, I would have fallen and seriously hurt myself. Oh, my gosh. Now, when the light came on, I was able to adjust my course to keep from falling into a gully washed out, which would have caused me great, great harm. Now think about that. The light was able to keep me from that, and I was able to point it in a direction of the path that would take me to my destination. And so it saved me from harm. Now, I think that's exactly what God's light is like to us. I don't know why so many people want to shrink from His light, why they don't want to embrace the Word of God or embrace the light of Christ, but many people shrink back from that in some type of fear. But when the Holy Spirit is there helping you understand that His light is good for you, we can come to that light and realize that it is our saving grace, the light of God in us. And I think the text today radiates with that same theme of light and its benefits to those who will embrace Him and embrace the light. So let's take a look at the passage. Therefore, do not become partakers with them, for at one time you were darkness. Somebody say that together. Were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what it is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Oh my. So I want us to turn to the whole idea of light in the Lord. First of all, I want us to just touch on this to kind of bring us up to speed here of light. The purpose of light. First of all, light rules over darkness. Somebody say hallelujah. God's light rules over darkness. Now listen to how I take this. The earth was without form and void, and what? Darkness was where? All over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light, and God saw that the light was good. Listen, God's light rules over darkness. Wherever light is, darkness cannot be. It is the opposite of darkness. So if we turned all the lights out and it was dark, dark, dark in here and you couldn't see your hand in front of your face, we would say, give me the light. Or we'd say, somebody shine a light. So let me bring out my phone. Everybody bring out their phone and wave the light, right? I mean, we want to see. Isn't that what we really want as human beings? I want to know. In other words, what I'm saying is, I want to see what's up. Where are we going? Wait, listen, you got to understand that God's light rules over darkness. See, He is the great God. Listen to me. He is the great God. There is no darkness anywhere on this earth, under the earth, above the earth, wherever. Listen, there's no darkness greater than God's light. This is a truth that we must embrace and understand. That's the truth. Light rules over any darkness. Hallelujah. The Bible says in John 12:46, I have come into the world as what? Light. So that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. Hallelujah. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. See, God is the author of life. He possesses the light, which is the author of life. And let me tell you, He's not only done that. He says, but I'm going to give you that light. Wow. And light rules over darkness. Praise be to God. But there's another aspect to this same light I'm talking about. We haven't gotten to the passage yet, but we're going to get there. Just follow with me, okay? Hang on. We're going to get there. Anticipate. It's going to be amazing. But first, we have to lay the groundwork. And not only does He rule over darkness, meaning that all His light just dispels any darkness whatsoever, but His light acts as, someone say, a magnet. Now, what does a magnet do? It takes some type of a like type, what's the right word? A magnet is metal. So a like type metal, I guess, and it draws it to it. There's this amazing draw that takes place. Now, plastic won't hold in that, right? So the plasticness won't come, but other metal is drawn to it, and it goes, boom, bam, and it connects. They use strong magnets to go over and pick up a whole car and bring it around and sit it in the crusher. They use large magnets to do things with other type physical properties that have the same properties. I mean, the metals, they can use it. Well, let me tell you something. God's light is so amazing. This is our great God. His light is so amazing, it acts like a magnet. Here is what it says in the Bible in Matthew 5, 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. Somebody say, I'm the light of the world. Well, come on, you got to be more excited about it than that. I am the light of the world. Jesus said that, right? One of the most amazing sermons on the Mount, or sermons that ever have been preached, is the Sermon on the Mount. This is where this is. And it says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Praise be to God. Listen, we are drawn to light. Others are drawn to light. It's like there's something in our DNA. When God breathed life, He breathed light originally into the DNA of mankind. When we fell, we allowed darkness to come in, but there's something in our DNA that draws us to light. How many get fired up when you worship? How many get excited when you hear truth from the Word of God? When you see somebody doing something in Jesus' name, how many go, wow, that's amazing. Oh, I want to be more like that. When you see somebody, oh, I've done this in Christ and He did this, and you just go, oh, I want to be that kind of person. What's happening right there? It is the magnet of the light of God being on display before you, and it draws you like that magnet. And you want to be part of that. See? That's why crusades do such an amazing thing. When the darkness floods into a crusade and there's somebody there that begins to talk about the light of God, oh, they want some of that. What? The magnetization takes place and God draws them in, and there is the magnet of the light of God that is shining through. As long as we don't let self get in the way, we let God's light shine before men, they shall be saved. It is a magnet, but only if we put it on display. See, you can't put it under a bushel. You can't hide it in the house. Who would light a light and hide it? I didn't want my flashlight to be, you know, not working, lying on the ground somewhere. I needed the flashlight. I needed to see. The world is in darkness and needs to see. And we, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Hallelujah. Well, obviously the source is clear. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world, referring to, obviously, Jesus. So His light shines through us, but the origin of it rests in God alone. And we are merely the lamps filled with His light and on display for the whole world to see. Okay. So, lights in the world. I am to be a light in this world. I'm to walk in His marvelous light. You were a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Listen, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellency of him who called you out of what? Darkness into his what? Marvelous light. So, first is the revelation here that I have been called out of this darkness that I used to be living in, and now saved, I have been put into his marvelous light. There's no question about it. I am to walk in that marvelous light because that's what I'm in. I'm in his marvelous light. Did you feel like you were in his light this week? Was the darkness overwhelming you, or was his light overwhelming you? Listen, the only thing that we should be experiencing on the regular basis, it's not that you don't have parts of your life that darkness floods in, because we're human, we allow it sometimes, but the main focus of your life should be, I walk in his light. The second thing I want to encourage you in being in the lights of the world is keeping his light burning brightly. Now, the way we do that is where we pick up in this passage. See, do not become partners of darkness. You with me? See, there's a certain category of people who will willfully live separate from the light of God. And they're going to be immoral people. They're going to be impure. They're going to be covetousness in their lives. Listen, the sons of disobedience will wander all their lives in sin and darkness. Why would we want to follow after that? Knowing what we know, tasting what we taste, being called out of that into his marvelous light. Why would we want to walk and be a part of that? It doesn't make any sense at all to me. That after we've been called out and into his marvelous light, why we would want in any way to follow the blind in the dark. So do not become partners with darkness. The second thing that passage taught us is walk as children of light. See, we were in darkness, ignorant, evil, rebellious, lying, full of anger, stealing, unwholesome words would flow out of our mouths, bitterness, slander, wrath, immorality, impurity, covetousness. All those things were a part of our life. But light represents truth and righteousness and goodness and godliness and holiness and living rightly with all people. Listen, this is what light represents. So for us to walk as children of light, those things should be flowing out of who we are. It's the litmus test of whether or not we are walking as children of light. If anger is a problem with you, you're remaining in darkness. If beating your spouse is part of your life, you're remaining in darkness. If you lose your temper all the time, you're remaining in darkness. These are common among Christians today, where we cannot control ourselves. Well, guess what? You cannot control yourself. But the fruit of the Spirit is self-control, and God can control you if you'll get out of the way and let Him have you. He will control you. Yes. Even your emotions and your feelings and your mind. See, mind, will, and emotion is what the psyche, the soul of an individual. And if you allow the Spirit of God, who is the center of that, to flow from the inside out, He will even say the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. We can walk as children of light. All these things can become part of who we are. And the truth is, not only did we live in darkness, but we were darkness, and now that's no longer the case. I am light. I am light. In Christ, we are light. We have His light in our lives, and we are to walk as children of light. And thirdly, no, don't take any part in darkness. There's a contrast between good spiritual fruit from God's light to the poisonous and the bitter root of darkness that takes place. See, when we claim to have that light, but then we lie and defraud others and abuse, you know, children or wives or husbands or in any way, we're dishonest in some way, the way we talk. Listen, results is we alienate people from God. Because here's one out of one side of our mouth, here's what we say. Oh, I'm a Christian. I can't stand you. Whoops. Wow. Where'd that come from? You know? And I'm a Christian. Just go ahead and mark it as a lie on your tax return. What? Listen, when we become children of light, let me tell you something, we represent Christ. This is tough. Because the world says, oh, all that's just little white things, don't worry about them, just little, you know, gray areas, no problem. Now, I'm not saying take every legal action possible to pay as little as taxes as possible. I agree with that 100%. Just be careful. Don't let them, you know, be careful that you are the children of light. You are the children of light. Now, I'm going to tell you, and you need to get this, we are to be the light of the world. Keep His light burning brightly. These are the things that in our passage today in Ephesians that it says, do not be partners with it. We're to walk as children of light and don't take any part whatsoever in darkness. Now, who among you would say that? Oh, that's easy, Pastor. That's no problem. Easy. Easy peasy, somebody said to me the other day. Easy peasy. What the heck does easy peasy mean? I don't even know. Let me tell you something. It is a struggle. Now, listen carefully to what it says in Ephesians 6. It goes on, see, to say this. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present, what? Darkness. Against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. To be lights of the world, we're going to have to struggle to make that happen, meaning that we're going to be constantly wrestling. Now, I understand your son is in wrestling. That's right? Okay. A lot of training, a lot of strength training, a lot of knowledge of how to place people in different holes, what to do next if you get into a hole, how do you escape out of it, how to take them down, how to put them on the mat, how to get the 3 count or 1 count or whatever it is. You know, all of that stuff is part of the wrestling process. It's not just some strong brute out there. It helps to have some muscle, but just you also can have strategy and win. You don't have to be the biggest guy on the block. You can still win. So as they meet up and they go into that first struggle, they're struggling to try to get the advantage. My friend, let me tell you something. We wrestle against flesh and blood. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but all these other things. And one of them is the cosmic powers over this present darkness. Listen, there is a darkness all around us. And we will have to wrestle against this whole idea. The cosmic powers over that present darkness. Now listen, as we go in to wrestle it, you better have a strategy, you better have a plan, and you better know who you are in Him. Because darkness can really overwhelm you. People commit suicide all the time because darkness has just closed in on them. And they've allowed it. They've had no way to fight and wrestle against it. My friend, let me tell you, you have the light of Christ. It is stronger than any darkness. You can tell the darkness to flee in the name of Jesus. You do not have to reside in darkness because we are children of light. the struggle, you have the victory, you have the strategy, you know the author of light, you are light. You can defeat it. There is no reason to live in darkness. You have what it takes to defeat this. So there will be a struggle. I'm trying to point this out. There will be a struggle. You will find yourself struggling against the powers of darkness. But I'm telling you, you have the strategy. You know the author of light. And he says, you are my light in this world. You can defeat it. Amen and amen. And lastly, what must I do? Let's be bearers of his light. Let's don't make excuses about why we can't be. Let's just be bearers of light. Let's help others change life's course with his light. Let's be the flashlight that exposes the things that they could step into and point them to the direction that they can walk safely in. And it's time for us. The Bible says for us to wake up. Now, I'm not saying you're asleep. I'm not saying that you don't pay any attention to God. But the Bible said, and this is what I want to say. The Bible said, wake up. So it's time to wake up and live in the glorious rays of God's Son. And it's time to wake up and understand that I possess His light. And it's time for me to wake up and let it shine into the darkness that others can see that they're about to step off a cliff. They're about to get involved in something that's bad and wrong and no good. Listen, it's time to let His light shine through us. And the more we do that, instead of worrying about the job so much, or worrying about what car I might drive or don't drive, or how big our house can be. Listen, it's time for us to let His light shine through us. And the more that happens, my friend, the more people are going to come to know Him through you as the light. Now, my idea of a portrait, of the magnificent portrait, is probably a little different than how you would draw this, and that's okay. Every artist has their own idea, right? But here's what I see every time I see a rendering of the cross, is I see the greatest love that has ever been expressed. The greatest love. So even though this is a very abstract idea of Christ hanging on the cross, what I really see is the love of God. And you know what the magnificent portrait is? It is the amazing love of God dying on the cross for our sin. And yes, He said things on the cross. His body went through things on the cross. But the message of the cross today is not the pain and agony, but it is the love of God. So even though it's very cryptic, it's very abstract, and I'm not an artist in that, in a sense of this world, but let me tell you what this says to me. My God so loved the world that the Son was willing to come and die on this cross and pay the price for my sin. Paid in full. What a magnificent portrait of the love of God hanging on that cross. And so I don't draw His face, I draw His heart. Because His heart speaks volumes. He says, I love you so much. I'm going to provide from now on, forevermore, the sacrifice of yourself. not only that, it says, takes away the sin of the world. That's you and me. Jesus. His love. Amazing love. I just... Every time I see Him, I see love. His love. So if He loves us that much and He has given us His light, can't we live in His light? Can't we distribute that light? Can't we share light? Not browbeat people, but just be a light. The flashlight didn't come up and hit me upside the head. It just turned on and the light became a light and I can use it. I can use a light. Thanks be to God for the light. I need His light. But first I have to know that He loves me. That He loves me. So these messages led me to this portrait of my Christ, my love, my King, my Lord. And so many amazing brushstrokes, and yet seven only. A perfect number. And a perfect Lord with a perfect love has given you the light to be the light to the world. What will you do with it? What have you done with it? You know, the call is to be light to the world. Don't hide it under a bushel. Don't let darkness droop over it. Because why? Because His light dispels darkness. Come on. There's no excuse, is there? There's none. We're supposed to be light. Let us shine so brightly that the whole world sees Christ through us, His light. May the whole world see this portrait. That we embrace as our own. That we are unashamed of the gospel of Christ. That we live it, we breathe it, and we love it. And certainly we share it. Our God, you see, you are the source of light. We say to you, O God, thank you for giving that light to us, that we can say we have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. And the light of God rests within us. And the Holy Spirit is stirring our souls this very moment, this very day, this very minute. To say that too much we allow darkness to invade, too much we allow darkness to control, when the truth is, your light can dispel anything. Anything! No matter how hard, difficult, or challenging. The struggle is there, but the victory is ours. Hallelujah. What a portrait of our Savior and our Lord that loves us that much and has given His all that He can then give His all to us. Hallelujah. We are in Christ. By definition, we are in His light. oh God. And again I say, oh God. Help us to be bright. It reminds me of when we're picking out colors for a house to paint. And we come to the trim. People want it to be a sharp contrast of white. And there is a color called bright white. Many, many people pick that color. They want it enamel, high gloss, semi-gloss. They want it to shine. Oh God, make us high gloss, shining lights that the world sees and knows that you are real. You make a difference. You're our God. May this portrait that was brushed by your word of the living God, may it be seared in our minds. And may the messages of the cross to us not be so much the agony, pain, and the stripes and all those things that are blessings to us, but let it reflect an amazing love that you have put there on that cross for us, that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Not so we can give up, not so we can run away when things are difficult, but that we press in. We press on. We press through whatever is there because the victory is ours. Today, if we've dropped our flashlight, I pray that we search till we find it, that it comes on again and fresh, and Lord, it will reveal to us your steps. Oh God, what a magnificent portrait you have painted. And I give you praise. And I give you glory. And I worship you in spirit and in truth. My heart yearns for a deeper walk in thee, O God. May I be out of the way. In you. Take center stage. I need you, God. I need you. Our church needs you. Families need you. Those who are devastated need you. My God, my God. Thank you for never forsaking us, for ever leaving us. You are there. You are here. You will be there, and you will be here forever and ever. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We give you praise. Lord, we lift you on high. And may you draw all people unto you. Fill this sanctuary, O God. Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. And amen. Hallelujah. God is good. Oh, God is good. May the Lord bless and keep you, and may your family be safe. May they be full of peace and joy. And may the favor of the Most High be upon you and your work and your whatever you lay your hands to. And may the peace of God rule and reign in your heart, knowing that He is on the throne and that you're walking in His light. May you be blessed beyond any blessing that you can imagine. And may you embrace the greatness of your God this week. And may you be a light to the world. Hallelujah. Go and sin no more. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.
Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my life, my strength.